You know, if you really want full-strength testosterone, forget money and power. Think about the ways in which Americans learn about something we hear about all the time in patriotic political campaigns. Honor, or I should say, honor.
Honor to the end.
No bastard ever won war by dying for his country.
Private Santiago is dead.
1,000 years of war.
But he is dead because he had no code.
You won it by making the other poor dumb bastard die for his country.
He is dead because he had no honor.
The greatest warriors the world has ever known.
All real Americans love the sting of battle.
The reason they fight, lost to the ages.
Honor. Sounds like social cyanide, turning people into suicidal maniacs who throw themselves off cliffs for some dubious concept of defending a code. Kind of scary, this thing called honor, but we're taught to believe it's a good thing. You've noticed there's no congressional medal of stepping back and thinking this thing through again, right? Is honor a good thing? Ryan P. Brown is the author of Honor Bound, How a Cultural Ideal Has Shaped the American Psyche.
When most people hear the word honor, they think of really good things like virtue or excellence or duty or respect. Those are all perfectly legitimate meanings of the word honor. But when a social scientist talks about honor, we mean something pretty different. These kind of cultures tell men that they need to be brave and strong and intolerant of disrespect. And they tell women to be loyal to their family at all costs and sexually chaste. And living up to these kinds of expectations really is what it means to earn honor in these sorts of cultures.
Before we get into all of the consequences of honor, would you say that honor is an adaptive quality of human beings, that it came about as a way of better enabling humans to, you know, be fruitful and multiply, that sort of thing?
Honor cultures develop in places where there's a general pervasive sense of economic insecurity. That's generally true where there's a lot of poverty, but also where whatever you have is very portable, so it can be taken from you easily. So when you put those factors together, people will respond to that sort of a social ecology by developing an honor culture that says reputation is everything. I'm going to defend my reputation. So it is adaptive in that sense. It's sort of an adaptive social response to a lot of brokenness.
In American history, there was certainly a lot of brokenness and a lot of things that became broken as a result of contact with the Europeans. But out of that, I think, come very powerful myths or stories about honor in the American West. The Godfather is an example, sure. All the way up to gang culture in the late 20th century. How does honor play in these various stories as we go down through time?
Think about inner city gang culture. It's a great example that you bring up. If you live in a poor urban community, you've got those two factors that I just talked about that tend to lead to the development of honor cultures all around the world. You've got poverty. The little bit of wealth that you might have is very portable. It's stuff that can be taken. And if somebody threatens your stuff, the police aren't likely to show up. You're not likely to call them, but even if you did, they're not likely to show up in that kind of environment. You rely on your reputation as being someone who's not to be trifled with to protect you. So you have these same social factors coming together in poor urban communities that you have in, say, southern Scotland or in Sicily, in the development of the Italian mafia, or the Middle East, other places around the world that have these honor cultures. It's really ultimately the same factors coming together to produce these. But long after those factors have disappeared from memory, after they've faded into history, you still may have these social norms that stick around that say honor is everything. Do whatever it takes to defend your honor, because if you lose it, you might not be able to get it back.
How does honor complicate family life?
A lot of the early research on the dynamics of honor showed up in studies of homicide rates. Because the southern and western United States tend to be more honor-oriented than the northern United States does, argument-related homicides were more common in the south and in the west than they are in the north. And it's important that they're argument-related homicides because these are murders that take place in response to what the police often refer to as a trivial altercation. So it began with somebody making a face or a rude comment to someone else, and then that person had to respond, and then the first person responds to that response, and before you know it, they're out in the parking lot beating each other up or stabbing each other. But then within the family, we're also finding that domestic homicide is more prevalent in honor-oriented states. If a husband believes his wife is cheating on him, if he lives in an honor culture, he's gonna feel his honor is under threat, it's under attack, and he's gonna respond aggressively.
It seems as though the imperative for so many communities is to figure out ways of, you know, dialing down the voltage of honor, of neutralizing it to allow other things to take place. Have there been any places that have been successful in doing that?
So there are parts of the world that seem to have progressed away, developed away from this sort of honor code. We often refer to them as dignity cultures. In a dignity culture, you don't have to earn a basic sense of value. You have value, you have worth or dignity simply by virtue of being a human being. And that doesn't have to be earned, so it can't be lost or taken away from you.
How does honor determine how we reward people in wartime and in athletics, that sort of thing?
So part of the honor ethic, especially for men, is to be brave and to be loyal and to be tough. So you can tolerate pain, you're willing to risk your life, and you're willing to take risks in protecting your honor or protecting the honor of your family or your teammates or your comrades. In sort of one of the brighter sides, we found that soldiers from more honor-oriented states in the U.S. were more likely than chance to win the Congressional Medal of Honor during World War II. On the flip side, looking at college football teams, teams that have more players from so-called honor states in the U.S. are more likely to suffer penalties for personal fouls and unsportsmanlike conduct. This, we think, is a similar manifestation of sort of reckless abandon in the pursuit of collective honor.
Ryan P. Brown is the author of Honor Bound, How a Cultural Ideal Has Shaped the American Psyche. Ryan, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me, John.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.